This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo.
Every year, on the Sunday before Lent, that is the sixth Sunday of Lent, the Church celebrates Palm Sunday. Most calendars list the day simply as Palm Sunday, but perhaps more accurately, it should be Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion.
Palm Sunday of the Lord's Passion.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue, that I might know how to speak to the weary a word that will rouse them. Morning after morning he opens my ear that I may hear, and I have not rebelled, have not turned back. I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. My face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. The Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness. And found human in appearance, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. As he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. He said, "Go into the village opposite you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tethered, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone should ask you, 'Why are you untying it?' you will answer, 'The master has need of it.' So those who had been sent went off and found everything just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying this colt?' They answered, 'The master has need of it.' So they brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the colt, and helped Jesus to mount. As he rode along, the people were spreading their cloaks on the road. And now, as he was approaching the slope of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to praise God aloud with joy for all the mighty deeds they had seen. They proclaimed, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He said in reply, "I tell you, if they keep silent, the stones will cry out." The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection, here is Father Enobong.
The triumphant entry of Christ in Jerusalem is what we celebrate on Palm Sunday. This Sunday is also called the Passion Sunday. On this day, the Passion narrative, according to St. Luke, is presented to us to prepare us for the coming events in the life of Christ in Jerusalem. The courage and desire to embark on this mission to Jerusalem was never motivated by selfish interests or fame. This was a mission to fulfill the will of the Father for the good of the people. This was a mission Christ did out of his love for us. He had the option not to accept this task, but he freely accepted to lay down his life for the salvation of all. It is obvious that the people were not finding it easy with the government of the time. They saw in Christ a worthy king, and so they were eager to have him as their king. Jesus did not do anything wrong, but there were people who were ready to bear false witness against him. How beautiful it is to see a government imbued by the love for the people. How blessed it is to see a leader who is not selfish but is motivated by love to serve his people and to give, if need be, his life for their well-being. Therefore, as we celebrate this Sunday, the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem, let us also welcome him into our lives to confront everything that stands to oppose the good. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ, our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Father Hilary Munyaneza, Father Enobong Daidion contributed to the program. I am Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned in for our bulletin of church news and later the world around us, all about our environment.
How much he cares for me. He forgives my sins, made me his own. God now lives in me.
He lives in me.
And he knows how much God loves me.
He loves me.
I never knew how much he cares for me.
Yes, for me.
He forgives my sins, made me his own. God now.
For me does not change. I feel like it's
favorite.
I live with that confidence.
I didn't know.
I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime with a bulletin of church news. Pope Francis has sent a message to participants at the UNIV International Congress of Young University Women that opened in Rome on Saturday. The purpose of the 10-day congress is to help participants deepen and grow in their faith. It is also an occasion for the participants to make a holy year pilgrimage and pass through the holy door of St. Peter's Basilica, and to participate in the celebration of the 100th anniversary of the ordination to the priesthood of St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of the Ops Dei and of UNIV International Congress. In his message, Pope Francis invited the participants to give thanks to God for the two Jubilee events and promised to accompany them with his prayers. I ask the Lord that this time of pilgrimage and fraternal encounter may encourage you to bring to everyone the gospel of Jesus Christ as a proclamation of the hope that fulfills the promises, that leads to glory, and founded on love that does not disappoint, the Pope said. The Congress has brought together about 1,000 participants from all 5 continents. Pope Francis has transferred Archbishop Brian Udaigwe from Sri Lanka, where he has been serving as Apostolic Nuncio, and appointed him new Apostolic Nuncio to Ethiopia. Archbishop Udaigwe is a Nigerian national. He was born in 1964 and ordained a priest in 1992 for the Catholic Diocese of Olu. He was appointed Apostolic Nuncio to Benin and Togo in 2013 by Pope Francis. In 2020, the same Pope Francis transferred him to Sri Lanka. Caritas in the Democratic Republic of Congo has launched an appeal for humanitarian assistance for the victims of the floods that took place on 5th and 6th this month in some parts of the capital Kinshasa, leaving behind a trail of destruction. 33 people are reported to have died and thousands displaced after their homes were washed away by water. The floods occurred when the banks of Njiri River, which runs through Kinshasa, burst following days of heavy rains and sent huge volumes of water in roads and residential areas. Reports from Kinshasa say the city experienced also more heavy rains on Saturday. The parish priest of St. Bernard Parish in one of the heavily affected areas of Kinshasa, Father Placide Eria of the Mill Hill Missionaries, said 2 days ago that in addition to the death and displacements, churches, schools, streets, homes, as well as state premises had been submerged by water. He praised the youth in his parish who helped in rescuing older people and children, carrying them to higher and safer grounds. Father Elia noted that the selfless acts of those young people should remind us that the care for creation is not just about policies. It is about people and about love in action. The Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Bentiu in Southeast Sudan, the Right Reverend Christian Kalasari, has condemned the recent communal violence committed by armed youth from Mayom County, who attacked neighboring Abiyam Home County in attempts to steal cattle. 37 people were killed and many more were injured. More than 1,000 others have been displaced. The attackers captured the county headquarters and also abducted women and children. In a letter, Bishop Kalasare wrote to the faithful this week, he attributed the violence to external sources who are using poor people to harm one another. He appealed to the faithful not to waste time with a conflict for power that uses power and ignorance as weapons, stressing that the only legitimate war is the one declared against poverty and ignorance. Bishop Kalasare invited Catholics to pray for peace because when there is violence, everyone is affected. He instructed the parish priests in Bentiu Diocese to make a special collection to help people who have been displaced. One parish has been closed due to the violence. As you heard on this program, the Catholic bishops in Uganda issued a pastoral letter on Monday, April 7th, detailing 14 national issues that need to be addressed urgently by the government and the citizens. One of them is economic and social inequalities that have contributed to poverty in the country. The bishops appealed to the government to ensure that the economy works for the poor through preferential planning. His Lordship Joseph Anthony Zwa is the president of the Uganda Catholic Bishops Conference and the Ordinary of Kinda Mitiana Diocese. This is what he told reporters in Kampala.
In our pastoral work, we see poverty on the faces of many people. This is attributed to structural factors that have condemned the poor to this condition. They include an economic structure that favors capital at the expense of labor and primary producers, and a political arrangement that empowers leaders at the expense of the people. This has created and continues to widen the gap between those who have and those who do not have. According to the Uganda Bureau of Statistics, 30.1% of the population of Uganda lives below the poverty line, and about 44% of the children experience monetary child poverty. This state of deprivation and inequality has created discontent in sections of the population and is partly responsible for riots, mental health issues, and domestic violence, among others. It is therefore incumbent upon leaders to ensure that our country's economic and political systems serve all Ugandans, and above all, provide opportunities for the poor to get out of the poverty trap. We call for preferential option for the poor in our planning as a country. Preferential option for the poor is among the cardinal principles of our Christian faith.
Bishop Joseph Anthony Zwa, the president of the Uganda Catholic Bishops Conference. A 5-day Pan-African Conference on Family Values opened in Kenya's capital Nairobi on Saturday. The conference is organized by the Africa Christian Professionals Forum under the theme Promoting and Protecting Family Values in Challenging Times, and is hosted by the Kenya Red Cross. The event is opposed by homosexual, transgender, and LGBTQ groups who have labeled it hateful because it affirms the natural family and defends the dignity of every human life, including that of the unborn, defends laws against abortion, and laws against homosexuality. The groups have been pressuring the Kenya Red Cross and the hotel where the event is taking place to cancel it. The conference is attended by participants from various churches and faith groups from across Africa. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the world around us, news about our environment. I am your host, Sister Jacinta Antoinette Okoth of the Franciscan Sisters of St. Anna. In this edition, I bring you the third and final part of Vatican Media's interview with Brother Adolf Mugume of the Holy Cross Congregation on the encyclical letter Laudato Si on the 10th anniversary of its publication. The encyclical written by Pope Francis and released in May 2015, just before the Paris Climate Summit, calls on all of us to take care of our common home through sustainability, social justice, and responsible environmental stewardship. In last week's edition, Brother Adolf spoke about how climate change affects people's mental health. Today, the brother who founded the Laudato Youth Initiative in Uganda explains how the Uganda Matters serve as an inspiration to care for our common home as individuals and as faith communities.
When I look at environmental care and care of creation, there are two things that come in mind for me as Adolf is God and his creation. That if this can help me understand that these two things go hand in hand, then I will appreciate my faith and I will solidly stand. Actually, I envision the Laudato youth being young people who will solidly be matters of God's creations to say, in the little things that they do, I look at the story of the Uganda Martyrs. They were not so educated. They were not so like popular people like people might have thought. They were these people who were zealous and founded in their faith that they stood for what they believed. And for me, it was inspiring to realize that also one of the things they believed in is the aspect of protecting God's creation. Say, I have my totem as a tree. So when that tree is designated as a totem, that means the society will respect it. The society will not destroy it. That's where we've heard in Uganda, in some communities, preserving trees for 2,000 years. And the story behind it has always been, it's a protected tree. How about if we began looking at the environment, the general environment, not just the trees, which the Uganda Matters did, you see, some have trees, have some animals, have some, you know, all this natural creation that was embedded, and the Uganda Matters had a very big story to tell. And I think we've dug more about that, and our youth are doing a lot of research to find out how much do we bring this story to life for us to appreciate the good legacy of the Uganda Matters, but also learn from it that the faith that moved the Uganda Martyrs to die for their faith is the foundation of the hope and the strong faith I think we have in Uganda, Africa, and the rest of the world today has greatly been contributed by the Uganda Martyrs. So we also need a generation or groups of young people who would think that way, that there is something we can hold as a value to the world, not just to us as individuals, but of course for it to make sense to us as individuals or to the world, it has to begin with us as individuals. Just like the Uganda Martyrs, they took their path and witnessed to the faith. Today in Uganda you have a big Catholic population, not just even Catholic, many people go to the shrine of the Uganda Martyrs as they know this is a place of hope. This is where faith stems. I also said, we being born in the land of the martyrs, I think we are giving birth to something for the world. The Laudato Youth did not start out of something that is ordinary. I would say the COVID-19 was also an extraordinary experience. And also, as I told you, we began as a result of needing to instill hope.
Brother Adolf also shared on how the Laudato Youth Initiative has spread to Tanzania and Kenya and how it has inspired interfaith encounters during the season of creation, which takes place every year from the 1st of September, the World Day of Prayer for the Care of Creation, to October 4th on the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, the patron of ecology.
So in Tanzania, we have two clubs. One is in a vocational school at Old Reveldman, Vocational Institute in Kitete, way down there. They sit near Ngorongoro National Park. So one time when we shot a little documentary encouraging people to appreciate what nature gives us and how it supports our livelihood, say we can only get clean water if we conserve forests, if we conserve water catchment areas. And they felt they were also in an environment that needed to be safeguarded. So they asked us, how can this initiative help us engage ourselves and our community to sustain? Because their concern was water was a big thing. They didn't appreciate before that the forests and the national parks had a big contribution to their livelihood. But when they saw how we have unpackaged it in a documentary, of what is happening to our common home, you see. They too thought we could engage in a simple way on how we can preserve water. And now you'll see the club is doing very well. They are sensitizing people on how the ecosystem is contributing to conservation of water in the environment. They are now appreciate the importance of planting trees, and they are reaching out to the indigenous communities of the Maasai pastoralists. Like, some children come from those families, also encouraging them to say, what you learn here, you can do it home. So what we are actually doing is helping them transfer the knowledge of what they learn in their clubs. They can go and do it at their homes. And when people see the fruits of what they are doing home, they can easily go and also start up something in the community. And another thing that has been very practical was interfaith dialogue. So we have also pioneered something very strong on parish levels, interfaith conferences. During the season of creation, actually, we always have interfaith dialogues where we invite people of different faith denominations and leaders to come. And we go to table and share about what do our faith say about care for creation.
That was Brother Adolf Mugume of the Holy Cross Congregation and founder of the Laudato Youth Initiative in Uganda, which has since spread to Kenya and Tanzania. And that is all for today's edition. Until next week, the same time, I am Sister Jacinta Antoinette Okoth.
You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In your next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, The Family. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.